When Emmanuel Macron swept into the French presidency in 2017, his relationship with Brigitte captivated the world. Their love story, a brilliant young man falling for his teacher 24 years his senior, became modern political folklore. But beneath this carefully crafted narrative lies a web of inconsistencies that challenges everything we thought we knew about France's presidential couple. Their carefully constructed image represents what philosopher Antonio Gramsci might call the shadowy space between dying and emerging worlds, where monsters lurk in the transition between realities. The mainstream media's portrayal reads like a screenplay. A precocious student defies provincial norms to pursue a forbidden romance. This narrative saturated French media through countless magazine covers, culminating in The Economist crowning Brigitte as the new model for French women. Yet journalist Harvey Algalorando noted a striking contradiction. Yes to magazine covers with Brigitte, nothing or almost nothing about the true story of their couple. Le Monde went further, describing Macron's biography as an official legend. Despite claiming, "I don't do politics," Brigitte emerged as the central axis of Macron's administration, with her budget growing yearly, reflecting her expanding influence beyond a ceremonial First Lady role. During a 2014 dinner with advisor Alain Minc, she insisted Emmanuel's presidential bid couldn't wait until 2022 because the problem is me, it's my face. Insiders revealed the truth. She surely has a stronger political ambition than him, with one confidant stating, "Brigitte created the man, the desire, the being that he is. She sensed potential when he was young and gave him a destiny." Before reaching the Élysée, she was omnipresent in his campaign, simultaneously playing accompanist, rehearsal director, reader, facilitator, and organizer. At the presidential palace, Brigitte became the feared first advisor, a vice president in the shadows who conducts job interviews and whose disapproval means political death. She's influenced ministerial appointments from education to justice. As Le Monde observed, the president really relies on only two people, his faithful right-hand man, Alexis Kohler, and his wife. The cornerstone of the Macron's political strategy was positioning Brigitte as a sophisticated bridge to conservative circles, a calculated move that proved remarkably effective. While maintaining strategic ambiguity about her political leanings, she employed a nuanced technique of individually treating conservative opinion leaders, first detecting their narcissistic vulnerabilities, then methodically flattering their vanity. Philippe de Villiers' experience exemplifies this sophisticated manipulation. Initially courted with promises of becoming their political advisor in the shadows, he received constant reassurance that Brigitte adores Villiers and shared his traditional values. However, when he later criticized Macron's policies, he faced swift public humiliation, a clear message to other potential conservative critics. Despite her carefully cultivated right-wing image, complete with proper bourgeois mannerisms and traditional fashion choices, the couple's actual worldview aligns firmly with societal progressivism. Close confidants reveal, fundamentally liberal, she doesn't understand how one can impose a life choice on others. Many conservative leaders initially believed they had found an ally at the Élysée Palace, only to discover what Le Point magazine called a Trump Lille, an architectural illusion masking a progressive agenda. The Macrons attempted to normalize their age difference by comparing it to couples like Donald and Melania Trump. However, investigation revealed deliberate distortions. Media repeatedly claimed Brigitte was almost 20 years older, actually nearly 25, and that they met when she was 36 and he was 17. The truth? Emmanuel was 14, born December 21, 1977, when they met, while Brigitte was 39, born April 13, 1953. This careful reframing transformed potentially serious ethical concerns into a romantic story worthy of Stendhal's pen. Despite this manipulation, French Wikipedia acknowledges their relationship could fall under Article 227-27 of the Penal Code. To support this revised narrative, Emmanuel's image as a literary prodigy required cultivation through associations with renowned authors and stories of unpublished works. Brigitte reinforced this in her 2016 Paris Match debut, describing him as a philosopher, an actor turned banker, and a politician, a writer who has not yet published anything, and I keep his manuscripts. Multiple contradicting narratives exist about Emmanuel's departure from Amiens to Paris. Brigitte romanticized it in Paris Match, claiming she encouraged his studies in Paris, with young Emmanuel dramatically vowing, "Whatever you do, I'll marry you." However, English teacher Christian Monjou revealed to the Daily Mail that Emmanuel's father had directly contacted the prestigious Henri Forlisset in Paris. His intention was clear: to physically separate his teenage son from Mrs. Trogneau and end what he considered an inappropriate relationship. This situation created significant upheaval within the Trogneau family in Amiens. For them, it was a huge scandal that embarrassed them enormously, threatening their standing in the conservative provincial city. Investigative journalist Sylvie Baumel later exposed how both families carefully managed the narrative during Macron's presidential campaign, deliberately avoiding phrases like embezzlement of a minor. The architects of the Macron couple's public image came from the same crisis communication team that previously managed Dominique Strauss-Kahn's reputation. When DSK's career collapsed after sexual assault allegations in 2011, his team from Euro RSCG agency shifted to constructing the official legend of the Macron couple. They crafted the narrative of a troubled 36-year-old teacher subjugated by a brilliant 17-year-old student, a story recognizable through specific anecdotes Brigitte repeatedly shared. However, internal polls on Brigitte produced disappointing results, creating tension between her and advisors who suggested reducing her public profile after studies showed she appeared too show-off and bling-bling. Despite efforts to portray Brigitte as an elegant woman of letters, unfiltered moments revealed a different personality, one making gritty innuendos and laughing about their bodyguard's anatomy with writer Philippe Besson. The carefully constructed narrative of Emmanuel as handsome and Brigitte as the embodiment of French glamour contradicted polling data showing French women weren't particularly charmed by the candidate. What emerges from this investigation is not merely political intrigue, but a profound questioning of how thoroughly modern political narratives can be manufactured. The Macron story demonstrates the extraordinary lengths to which power brokers will go to control public perception, rewriting timelines, manipulating biographical details, and constructing elaborate myths that serve political ambitions. When we examine the gaps between official stories and documented reality, we confront uncomfortable questions about truth in our media landscape. How many other political narratives have been similarly engineered? What happens when we base our understanding of leaders on carefully constructed fictions rather than messy realities? Perhaps most importantly, what does it mean for democracy when image management becomes so sophisticated that voters can no longer distinguish between authentic character and manufactured persona? The true story of the Macrons reminds us that in politics, what appears to be an inspiring love story may actually be a masterclass in narrative manipulation, and that seeing beyond the fairy tale requires both skepticism and a willingness to question even our most cherished political romances.